things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, if you're justified, that means God has completely forgiven you of everything. And it's no more. It's wiped away. We've been looking at justification in the Bible. We need to realize that when we're justified, doesn't mean our record is expunged. It doesn't mean our record is sealed. You know, we have a justice system, and it's a justice system that's run by man. Therefore, it is corrupt at times, doesn't work. But when we are justified by God, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, everything is wiped clean.
Amen.
That's the ultimate forgiveness. Now, you think about this. When somebody does something to you, when somebody hurts you or offends you, you get it right, but it's still there. You still think about it once in a while, don't you? It's just the way we are until God changes us. When we're justified, God doesn't consider our past. Many Christians have a difficult time living in their Christian life because they keep on digging the past up. And the Bible says, Paul says, I press toward the mark. He's continually moving on. And so we've looked at justification for 2 weeks. And tonight I want us to look at Romans chapter 5 in your Bibles. If you have Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And I'll read those. We'll read through those. But in this chapter, we've looked at what justification is. We've looked at how we're justified. This week, we're going to look at the results of justification. What happens when we're justified? What happened when you were saved in relation to being justified? What does God give us? And it's outlined in this chapter. And then next week, I'm going to give you a portion of Scripture to look at. And I'm going to ask you to do some homework. Next week, we're going to look at another thought that is often, it looks like a contradiction, but it's not. And so we're going to look at that next week, next Wednesday. So look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, I want to look at several things, and we're going to look at some verses tonight, but I want us to look at seven things that God gives us as a result and in relation to us being born again and justification. First of all, I want us to think about, in verse 1, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what are we talking about? Well, look, in verse 10, the Bible says, we were enemies. You see that? You ought to underline, we were enemies. Listen, it's not a good thing to be enemies of God Almighty, the one that's in control of everything, the one that created this world, the one that holds your next breath, your next heartbeat in his hand, the one who has the plan for your life, the one who has the plan for the ages. And God, the Bible teaches that we were enemies, But it says in verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Can somebody help me read Romans 5 and 10, verse 10? Somebody help me. Hang on. Hang on. I got the teenagers helping me tonight.
Who's got Romans 5?
Who's got Romans 5 and verse 10?
Princess.
Who's got it?
She don't have it.
No, I have Corinthians.
Wait, this side Corinthians, right? First Corinthians. Right.
Who has Romans 5:10, teenagers? She
has Romans 8:9. Huh? Okay. Somebody, Chris, go ahead and read it for us. Romans 5:10.
For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
So we were reconciled. We're not enemies. We become part of his family. That's incredible. One day you're an enemy, the next thing you're family. Huh? Only God. Amen. Colossians 1:20. Colossians 1:20. Who has that?
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Amen. Having made peace through what? The blood of the cross. Hey, we have peace with God. Now, you're not going to have peace with God and have peace with men. The Bible tells us to attempt to live peaceably with the best we can. In other words, don't go out and cause trouble.
Amen.
Don't go out and offend people. Be like Jesus. And you're going to offend people. You're going to offend people by sharing the gospel. You're going to offend people by living your life. You're going to if you decide that you're going to follow the word of God and God says to you, you need to abstain from this, you're going to come around some people that don't want to abstain from that. And because you abstain, that's convicting. They're not going to be happy with you. But we have peace with God. Amen. Peace with God Almighty. Justification gives us peace with God. Number two, notice this. We in verse 2, look at verse 2. By whom also we have access, or we've gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. What's it saying there? It means that being justified, we can come into the very presence of God. Somebody read John 10:9 for me. Who's got that? Shh.
Bye.
Out real loud. Real.
I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Amen. I am the door. Jesus says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And enter in. Where are we entering into? We're entering into the family of God, but we're also entering into the very presence of God. Now, most of us didn't realize this when we prayed the sinner's prayer, but we were literally entering in to the presence of God at that time. Notice, who can read Hebrews 10:19? Hebrews 10:19. Okay, now. Real good, real loud. Come on now.
Having therefore a reverent boldness to enter into the...
Bye! Leave me alone.
Having therefore a brethren boldness to enter into the holy...
Bye, bro.
Having therefore a brethren boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. Now, you young people, I'm going to say this one time. It's not good to be laughing when we're reading the scripture.
Amen.
And that disappoints me.
Amen.
Okay? That means it's got to stop right now. I'm asking you to help me because I want you to get in what's going on now. Amen? Okay, now, we have gained access by faith. Thank you, ladies, for reading those scriptures, because we have access by faith. We have gained access into the presence of God. Amen. Being justified. Now, number three, I want you to notice it says there in verse 2, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When it says hope there, it's not we hope. It's not something, it doesn't mean uncertainty. Okay? It refers to the assurance that we're going to see God. When the Bible mentions the word hope, it's not something that's not going to happen. It's we're looking for that blessed hope. It's something that's going to happen. Amen. Colossians, who can read Colossians 3:4?
When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Amen. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. When Christ, who is our life, what? Shall appear. Does it say might? Is there any doubt in that verse? No, we're going to appear with him in glory.
Amen.
No more pain. No more heartache. No more sadness. No more school.
Amen.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. There you go, teenagers. They got spiritual there. Amen. Amen. Titus 3:7. Help me out now. Titus 3:7. I said Titus 3:7.
Is that you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Ario.
Ario got it.
Okay,
Ario. Bye. Oh, we're doing it for what you have.
Who's got Titus 3:7?
That was the whole word of the thing.
You didn't read the right one.
No, I read the right one, but I was like, I didn't realize the word.
Hey, who got Titus?
Who was it? I couldn't read it. Let it go, please. Oh, my.
That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Now look at that word, that H-E-I-R-S. What's heirs? Does anybody know what that means?
Next in line.
Next in line. What else does it mean?
Next owner, like it's yours.
Guaranteed.
If you're an heir to a millionaire, good stuff, right? What's it saying? What's he saying? Yeah, we're family. We're family. God wants to give us everything he can to be a blessing to us. And the Bible teaches there we have a hope. We have a hope. Folks, we struggle. Listen, young people, I remember when I was your age. I do. And I mean, I was all over the place. I mean, I came home from school. I went out and played basketball. And I went to school, and then somewhere I was playing something. I was playing pickup football. I was always going somewhere. Every weekend I was going. I was coming into the house and always going in church and this, that, and the other. And then I went to college, and then I got married, and then we had kids. Now we got grandkids, and sometimes I can't remember things that I just put down where I put them and all that. You're going to get there. And you get, the older you get, you start hurting. And the older you get, you start having responsibility. You young people show up at the house, you eat, you go to school. But one day, and listen, this world is in trouble, and there's things going on that we adults try to say to you young people, it didn't used to be that way. That's what our parents said to us. But folks, one day we're going to be with him. And we're in his family now. Behold, now are we the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, okay, we rejoice. And now, verse 3, look at verse 3 in chapter 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. What's it saying? What's it saying there? Well, look at verse 4 and 5. And patience, experience. What's it talking about in verse 4 and 5? Why can we rejoice? Why can we rejoice in tribulations? Because it's going to teach us. It's going to make us what we want to be, what we need to be, what God wants us to be.
Why am I going through this difficulty? Why is this a difficulty? Why is this happening? Because God wants to make us better. Mm-hmm. A lot of Christians get bitter. You go through a hard time. You go through a difficult time. You go through a loss. You go through a difficult time at school. You go through a difficult time at work. God is making you to be better. And that's what it says. Look at verse 4. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. So there it is. God is working. God is working. And we can rejoice in our suffering. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Can somebody read that? Who has 2 Corinthians 4:17?
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Amen. What does it say? Light affliction. Say, preacher, how can it say light affliction? When I go through something, it hurts. Let me just give you something to compare it to. When Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, it was the most horrific death that a person could go through. You say, well, preacher, what about lethal injection? That's just for a minute. What about the firing squad? That's just for a minute. What about hanging? That's just for a minute. But he literally hung on that cross after he was beat with a cat of nine tails, crown of thorns, and he literally suffocated on that cross. The cross was a place, there were thousands of people that were crucified on the Roman cross. And you say, preacher, I had a bad day today. Well, you didn't get nailed to the cross.
Amen.
There's your comparison. There's your comparison. And so, who has Acts chapter 14 and verse 22?
Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
You understand that we're going to go through tribulation. We're going to go through tribulation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 8 through 10. Okay,
come on
now. Who's got it?
Okay.
Who has it?
Me. And okay. We are the troubles on every side, but we're not distressed. We are perplexed, and we're not despair.
Next one.
From persecuted, not forsake, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, and the life also Jesus might be made and manifest in our body.
All right. Who has 2 Corinthians 6 and verses 4 through 10? Who has it?
But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things.
Amen. Now, what's that saying there? What's that saying? What's Paul saying there? He's saying, oh, I'm going through this, but this is how it turns out. He says, as poor making many rich. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand that. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he was talking about how he was going through this and this and that, and how he was poor. I said, no, you're rich. You know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, the world's riches, the riches pass away. The riches are gone. They don't give you happiness. A lot of times they bring sadness. And so we're going to go through sufferings. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Who has that? 1 Thessalonians 3:3.
Hello. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto.
Now, what is that? No man should be moved by these afflictions. What's that talking about? Well, let me just tell you something. I've seen people that have lived for God for years, been in church, and one day they're just gone. They decided they couldn't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they chuck church. They chuck God.
Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you something, folks. These afflictions are not to move us. They are to make us. They are not to destroy us. They are to make us better. They are to fortify us. And so the Bible says here that we rejoice in sufferings. Now, number five, God has poured out His love in our hearts. Look at verse 5. And hope it says, because the love of God, the second part of the verse, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What's it saying there? When God justifies us, we become indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. But notice in verse Ephesians, who has Ephesians 3 and verse 17 and 18?
Hello? That Christ may dwell in hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love.
Oh, verse 18.
May be able to comprehend with all saints what is breadth and length and depth and height.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. So what's it saying there? It's talking about the love of God, the four dimensions of the love. Look at that verse. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? What's it talking about? Love is dimensional. Love is dimensional. And when God saves us, He gives us His love. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. Who has it?
We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
All right, thank you. We know we have passed life unto death because what? Because what? Because what? We love the brethren. We love the brethren. You know, if you find yourself hating your brother, hating your sister in the Lord, you've got problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say, preacher, we have times that we get mad at each other. Yeah, everybody does, right? Everybody does, but we deal with that, and the Bible tells us how to deal with that. So there is the love, the dimensions of love, and love in our hearts. Number six. Notice this, verse 5. It says, The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 through 17. John 14, 16 through
17. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for the dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Thank you very much. Even the Spirit of truth, the world doesn't know him. But he said, you'll know him because he is going to dwell in you. When you were saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwelt you.
Amen.
Now, a lot of Christians don't listen to him. A lot of young people don't listen to the Holy Spirit. They turn him down. They turn the world's music up and turn the Holy Spirit's music down. They turn the world's talk up and the spiritual talk down. They turn the truth down and turn the line up.
Right.
Wow. Amen.
You want me to go on anymore? We got that? We got that point?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Listen to this. Romans 8 and verse 9. Who has it? Read that out real loud for me, will you?
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Right. Now, what does it say? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. You say, why? Because when you are born again, the Holy Spirit instantaneously indwells you.
Amen.
It's not something you work up to. It's not something you get by some action, outward action, or some jumping around and dancing around and singing,
exactly,
and all working yourself up and speaking. People talk about speaking in tongues, by the way. In tongues, in the Bible, tongues is always a foreign language.
Exactly.
It's always that.
Amen.
And so you need to understand, and I need to understand, that the Holy Spirit comes into us when we're saved.
That's right.
When we're saved. And if we do not have the Holy Spirit, we're not saved.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, I have met people, and many of you have met people that have got saved, but they didn't understand. That's why we have church, and that's why we teach and preach what we do here, so you can understand what happened when you got saved.
Amen.
And you need to be discipled. That's why we have master clubs. You young people came up to master clubs. You know, you young people know more Bible than a lot of adults in the world.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You learned it in master clubs, right? You quoted the verses, you wrote tracts, you did this, you did that. And you ought to thank God for that because He's there, the Holy Spirit's there, and He'll use that word to teach you.
Right. Amen.
So we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, who has that?
Hi, here. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Hey, your body is the what?
Temple of the Holy Ghost.
Temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own.
Amen.
So when we make decisions concerning our body, the decisions are already made. There's no questions. They're already answered.
Right.
They're already answered. The question of drugs, alcohol, sex outside of marriage,
right.
it's that's already answered.
Right.
It's a big fat no.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we need to understand that. The Holy Spirit indwells us. God takes residence up in us. Now, let me give you this, number seven. Look at verse 11. It says this, and not only so, but we also joy in God. What's that talking about? It's talking about exalting God. It's talking about lifting up God. Now I know there's a lot of people in this world that are lifted up. People in the political world, people in the Hollywood world, people in the music business.
Mm-hmm.
People in the movie business, people in the sports world. Well, let me just tell you something, folks. The one that should be lifted up is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Are you lifting up Jesus Christ? Huh?
Amen.
Are you lifting up Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Are you justified? Are you justified? These things are yours. I want to challenge you to take this portion of Scripture and spend some time in it. Spend some time in it. Spend some time in the Word. Listen. Next week we'll look at James chapter 2. I want to give you that homework to look at, James chapter 2, and study that. Yeah, homework. You don't have any homework. You don't have any homework. Okay, let's not call it homework. Let's call it pleasure reading.
Amen.
Still reading in chapter 2.
I'm sorry. Just put your phone down for a minute and quit texting, your fingers off your hand and read the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Could you do that? Amen. Just take some time to do that. We have so much. We have so much being justified. We don't deserve another breath, another heartbeat this side of heaven. We don't. But God gives us so much. So much. He indwells us. He allows us to go through. And here's the problem a lot of people in the world face, that we don't realize this. And how many of y'all know somebody that has committed suicide? Huh? Raise your hand. Okay. You know some people who commit suicide. You know what happened there? They didn't know where what they were going through was coming from. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't. But folks, when we know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we understand where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that somebody loves us. And we don't have to take that way out of life. Because life can be wonderful with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you justified? Do you know Christ as Savior? Say, preacher, if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. You're here and you say, preacher, I'm justified, but I'm not living like it. Are there some things in my life that need to change? You might have been looking at the things you have and you might say, I'm not even listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm not even lifting Jesus up. I'm not even realizing the tribulation that I'm going through is for my betterment. Whatever the need, I'm going to encourage you to come get alone. Young people, adults alike, you come and get alone with God. Father, bless the invitation. Work in our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, make your way to this altar and get alone with Him. Tonight, every day, God bless you, young people. Come as God leads you. You say, preacher, I'm mad at something. Come get alone with God. I'm away from God. I'm not where I should be. Thank you. me tonight. That was great. Appreciate it. We'll do that again. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's close in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Very close for us.
Dear Lord, thank you for those wonderful truths, dear God. It was so worth coming to your house tonight to hear that wonderful teaching, Lord. Help us to keep pondering on it, Lord, and applying it to our life. And keep us safe on the way back home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.